It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Hour number two, we'll see us go around the NFL coming up in 25 minutes. Then it will be time to pick every game, give you the latest updates and analysis. 6 o'clock, we'll pick the players we think are most important to Commanders and Steelers. And then it is a Wizards game day, so Dave Johnson will join us at 6:30. Right now, though, it is time for Not My Beat. Joining us today, great friend of the show. You've heard her on our NFL Combine roundtables, and whenever there's Steelers news, you know we give her a call. It's ESPN's Brooke Pryor. Brooke, thank you for your time, ma'am. Appreciate it. I know it's a busy day.
Oh, of course. There's nothing else I'd rather do.
Well, I mean, this show is a good time, so I totally understand that. So the Steelers, sitting at 6-2, are preparing for somehow the 7-2 Commanders, and they are preparing for a rookie quarterback who is playing unlike any rookie, arguably, that we've ever seen. How are the Steelers preparing this week for Jaden Daniels?
Well, as it turns out, they have a weapon on their own roster who I think simulates Jaden Daniels pretty well, and that's Justin Fields. And he has been giving the defense a look this week. He's been running some of the scout team stuff, is what TJ Watt told us earlier today. So it isn't just, you know, an automatic win because they're going against a rookie quarterback and they have a guy in-house that gives a pretty good look at him. I think that this is definitely going to be their toughest challenge as a defense so far.
The issue with using Fields as Jaden is Justin, while an incredible athlete and can certainly give them that look, is not the accurate passer that Jaden has been this year. So did TJ or any of the DBs especially maybe talk about that element of Jaden's game and preparing for a guy who can seemingly make any throw from any platform anywhere?
Yeah, that is definitely, I think, one of the toughest things about facing Jaden. I mean, we're talking with Cam Hayward earlier this week. He's not a DB, but he said something that stuck with me, and that's that Jaden is lightning in a bottle. He just does everything so well. Mike Tomlin, I believe, said that Jaden is not playing like a rookie. And that's where Justin Fields is not the only guy giving them a look at what Jaden Daniels does. They've also been using Kyle Allen, although, of course, Kyle Allen is not the precision passer that Jaden Daniels has been so far this year. But it is hard to find a way to get that same simulation in practice. And if they had a guy in practice that could do that, he would probably be the starting quarterback. But yeah, I think that it's the combination of things, right? That not only can he make all these throws, Joey Porter Jr. wants to be the guy that's following Terry McLaurin. He's kind of made that very clear each week that he wants to be on the number one receiver. That this is going to be because he can do everything so well, that it's going to be a really big challenge for this defense.
Brooke Pryor, ESPN, with us here on the Hoffman Show, talking about the Steelers-Commanders matchup that is much of the talk of the NFL world, as it's probably the game of the weekend, although it is 1 o'clock on Sunday. A couple other games previously scheduled that the other networks thought were going to be good. We'll find out, but this is the one that's two first-place teams, and the Steelers have gotten there, obviously, with their defense. What has impressed you the most about this unit this year, one that ranks pretty well against both pass and run?
Yeah, to me, it's the timeliness of this defense. They have a really good, I'm not quite sure where it ranks, but their red zone defense has been really good. They've been good at getting timely turnovers, timely takeaways, that, you know, they'll get gashed for a big play. And it feels like in the moment, like, all right, well, here the dam's about to break. There's no way they're going to get themselves out of this situation. And that's when TJ Watt comes up with a strip sack fumble, or Beanie Bishop picks off Aaron Rodgers again. They've just been so good at making the big plays at exactly the right time. But they have just been, I think, playing really good complementary football across the board. Although, to me, the biggest concern about this defense going into this game is not only containing Jaden Daniels, but just containing the run game as a whole, because the last time that we saw this defense go out there, Tyrone Tracy with the New York Giants just tore them apart. He was, I think, had 130, 145 rushing yards. It was the first time the Steelers defense has allowed a single running back to have a 100-yard rushing game this season. But that's one of the reasons they went out and acquired Preston Smith at the deadline, to give them another outside linebacker, to give them some depth, especially with Nick Herbig continuing to kind of struggle from recovering from this hamstring injury. And Preston Smith, I think, is going to be a really key piece of the run defense. It's just about how quickly he can catch up and fit in with the Steelers scheme.
So I was going to ask about that. We know Marshon Lattimore is not going to play for Washington, their big trade line deadline acquisition. How quickly can Preston get involved? And then obviously on the offensive side, how quickly is Mike Williams going to be a part of what Pittsburgh does?
Yeah, I think that Preston Smith is going to have a bigger impact right away, mostly because they need him to. I mean, the outside linebacker depth has taken a lot of hits this year, not only with Nick Herbig and this lingering hamstring issue. Alex Highsmith was out for a little bit. He's now healthy again. DeMarvin Leal was a guy that they were depending on for depth. He is out with a, I believe it was a neck injury. I don't expect to see him maybe the rest of the season. It just feels like this defense, this defense really needs Preston Smith. They need that quality veteran depth. And he has talked about how he is familiar with playing in the Steelers scheme. That was one of the reasons he requested a trade from Green Bay, is that they moved to a defense that didn't fit his skill set as an edge rusher quite as well. And he anticipates being able to kind of catch up to speed really quickly.
Brooke Pryor from ESPN with us here on the Hoffman Show. Of course, she is their Steelers reporter. You also see her frequently on Get Up and many other of ESPN's NFL programs. So, Brooke, when you look at the Steelers offense, Najee Harris has had arguably the best three-game stretch of his career. Russell Wilson has also taken over at quarterback, which has changed the dynamic of that offense. When you watch it on tape, though, I'm like, I don't know. They're somehow putting up 30 points. They're not very efficient. They got all these 50-50 balls. How do they feel internally about their offense? And even though the point production is there, like the down-to-down execution of it all?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is an offense that is making – it's similar to the defense in that it's making the big plays at the most crucial times, but – I still, you know, in planning, when you're a reporter, you're always working ahead a couple weeks, right? You're looking ahead at the big primetime games, the big matchups, and you're trying to plan stories. And I found it difficult to plan stories in advance because I'm not quite sure what this offense is and how much it's going to be able to be sustained as they, you know, have games like teams against the Commanders and the AFC North, some really strong defenses. Because it has felt really opportunistic. It's felt like you mentioned, a lot of these 50-50 balls that right now are going in their favor, but it kind of feels like, I don't want to say it's a house of cards, because it could prove to be much stronger than that, but it's felt, I've done a lot of holding my breath watching this offense. But I will say that I don't think the run game is an aberration. I think that is something that is here to stay. This offensive line, despite all of the injuries that they've dealt with, has been really good, and Najee Harris has been really effective behind them. He has, what, 3 games of 100 yards. I think that is something that is real, that he's going to continue to build on that momentum. And by the way, looks like they're going to have Cordarrelle Patterson back, who looked like the most effective back in that one drive that he had against Indy before he went out with this ankle injury that's kept him sidelined. And Jaylen Warren is there. So they have a full complement of backs to, I think, really help Najee Harris out, although he hasn't needed it. But I really just need to see a bigger sample size from Russell Wilson. It's only been 2 games, but in those 2 games, they are at least stretching the field. That's where I also think that Mike Williams being involved, being a piece of this offense, although if you ask the coaches, they're really slow playing how much they envision using Mike Williams. I even asked Mike Tomlin what makes Mike Williams the right fit for this offense, and he said, well, I didn't say that. That remains to be seen. We don't know if he's the right fit, which, I mean, let's be honest, if you're training for a guy, you're pretty confident that he's the right fit for this offense.
That's a bold take, Mike. You traded for
it. It is. Right, but he is a big body receiver. Gives them another downfield threat opposite of George Pickens to take some of the heat off of Pickens. He's really good at catching balls in tight windows. That's something that Russell Wilson is really good at threading the balls there, at least using that moon ball to get the ball there. So I think, like, all signs are pointing to this being one of the Steelers' best offenses in the last couple of years. But again, it's been two games with Russell Wilson. There's still a lot that I think we need to see before I'm confident saying that and saying it with my chest.
Is there anything that when you watch Washington or dive into the numbers, talk to folks, that really concerns you, that where you think Washington has a potential big advantage in this game? And then flip side, is there anything that from the Pittsburgh side you're fairly confident in looking at the matchup against Washington, offensively or defensively?
Yeah, you know, I think that Washington, A, running a lot of no huddle, and B, just having the dual threat of Jayden Daniels, everything he can do. I'm a little bit concerned if I'm Pittsburgh looking at, you know, how effective can a pass rush be against a guy that has the tools that Jayden Daniels has. I mean, as good as TJ Watt has been, it's going to be really hard for him, you know, to put up the same sack numbers or get the same pressures if Jayden Daniels is able to escape the pocket and still make a big play. I think that that's just going to be a really long afternoon for the Steelers pass rushers. I do think that Pittsburgh has an advantage running the ball. I think that getting those, if they can continue to, whether it's luck or precision, accuracy, whatever it is, using the deep ball, I think should continue to free up the middle of the field, maybe keep the Commanders from loading the box against Najee Harris. To me, I think the Steelers offense has the edge against the Commanders defense, but to me, the Commanders offense with the tandem at running back, and then you add in the quarterback, to me, this is going to be a really, really tough one for the Steelers defense and their front seven.
And then last but not least, Brooke, the kicking game. Brooke Pryor is with us here from ESPN. Of course, she does the Steelers reporting, but also does some national reporting as well. And you actually did a story within the last few weeks on the kicking game, which is having a historically good year, including some of Austin Seibert. You reported on him and his tremendous accuracy since joining Washington. What did you find that you found? First of all, why'd you want to do a story on kickers? Second of all, what'd you find when you did a story on kickers?
Listen, I love the kicking game. I love special teams, and I think that they deserve a lot of credit. And I've been watching Chris Boswell for the last, 6 years since I've been in Pittsburgh, and he has gotten better and better every year. They'll trot him out. I think he attempted, I want to say, a 60-yarder, 61-yarder. Didn't make it, but, they are just letting him go out and letting it rip. And I just noticed that across the league, many kickers were having those opportunities, and a lot of them were having a lot of success with these long-range field goals. And to me, the biggest takeaway that I walked away from the reporting on this story was that it's not necessarily that kickers are better and more accurate and have longer range now. A lot of the guys I talked to have said that they've always been able to do this, but now coaches have trust in their kickers to go out there. Whereas before, they may have been, you know, conservative, trying to play the, as Mike Tomlin would say, the field position component of the game, you know, punt it away, pin them deep, rely on your defense. Now points are at such a premium that coaches are like, forget it. Let's just go out there. Let's kick the long field goal. I'm going to trust my kicker to go out there and make it happen. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But we at least want to try to put some points on the board. And to me, that was the most enlightening thing, because I went into the story reporting on it thinking okay, they're going to tell me that they have more, you know, finely tuned their weightlifting regimen, and they're, you know, working out more on which days they need to kick and figuring out how to preserve their legs for Sundays. One thing that Danny Smith, legendary Steelers special teams coach, mentioned to me is that with the new kickoff rules, some teams are not having their kickers, you know, boot it through the end zone for touchbacks the way that they used to. And that could be something that is taking some of the stress off of guys, off of their legs, giving them more power for field goals. And then one thing that Austin Seibert mentioned that has really helped him with field goals is that with the extra point being a longer attempt, it's not just a gimme the way that, you know, you go out there and maybe everything in the extra point doesn't necessarily translate to a field goal attempt the same way because it used to be so much shorter. But he was saying now, because it's a longer attempt he knows after he's, you know, taken that extra point attempt, okay, how's the ball looking? How's my approach? Does everything feel right? It's like a field goal rep, and it allows him to know how to make the adjustments to make a field goal, or say, you know, hey, I think that my range is really good today because I'm hitting a straight ball every time. So I thought that was interesting how much doing the special or doing the extra point attempts can kind of help a guy get into a flow and be more accurate when they're kicking field goals. So I love it. I love reporting on the underreported things in the NFL, which feels like there's not much of that left. I feel like NFL coverage as a whole is pretty wall to wall, floor to ceiling, you name it. But I found a little nook and cranny, and I dove into it, and it was really fun to see what's going on with the kickers.
I love that. Those are the best stories. That's when it gets really fun. The nooks, the crannies, and Brooke Pryor is one of the best at it. So good job, Brooke. Excellent. Now I missed this story, admittedly, on the timeline. I'm going to go read the kicking story now. So I'm pretty pumped about that. So thanks for giving me something to read on a Friday afternoon, either in a commercial break or after the show.
It's a little homework. Who doesn't love homework on a Friday?
Brooke, nobody loves homework. Especially on a Friday. Why did you just kill? I just gave your story this great promo, and I genuinely am excited to go read it, and then you called it Friday homework. What are we doing?
Well, you know, you've got all weekend to do it, so you don't have to rush to do it on a Friday. You can save that for Sunday night before, you know, you're in class Monday morning.
Thanks, Professor Pryor. It's Brooke Pryor, everybody, Steelers reporter for ESPN. You can check out that story and anything else from the Steelers side of things as you get ready for Sunday on ESPN.com. Brooke, always a pleasure, and see you this weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. That is Brooke Pryor with us here on the Hoffman Show. Appreciate her time as always. Be good to see her in the press box at Northwest Stadium this weekend. If you want a really fun, just random thing to go watch this weekend, go back on YouTube and find the roundtable that we did, me, Brooke, and Ben Solak, who at the time was still with The Ringer and is now Brooke's colleague at ESPN. But really fun thing we did at the NFL Combine, where we talked about some of the trends in the NFL, and it was good. So go back and find that on YouTube if you want a little bit more football talk this weekend. And you can see how what we said is holding up from the NFL Combine this NFL season. When we get back, the rest of the games this NFL season, we go around the NFL next on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well. At the Team 980. Didn't know if we were going to be able to do that today, but we're doing all right, Anthony. We're making it work.
Yes, we are, sir.
Part of me was like, don't even mention that it might look a little different, because if you're a diehard, maybe you notice. But I think we've made it work. So appreciate everyone sticking with us today on YouTube. If you're watching, of course, on the radio, sounding the same as always. And if you're listening later on a podcast, you don't care at all. All right, Anthony, it is time to go around the NFL. Before we do, remind folks where we sit on the record statuses. It's a tight race, thanks in part to you picking really well and me definitely setting myself up for a law of averages regression at some point soon.
Yes, sir. So you currently hold a 4-point lead over yours truly. You are 91-43. And I am 87-47. That does not include last night's game.
Did we officially pick that game? I feel like we did.
Yeah.
We both said the Ravens.
Yep, we both said the Ravens, even though I did say the Bengals would cover.
You did. It was a heck of a game. I actually watched the entire first half, which for me, timing-wise, I don't know how I'm going to handle next week, man.
Ooh, because we have the Thursday nighter.
Yeah,
I think you're just going to be more interested in the game, though. Like, it's our team.
Of course. Here's my problem. The Hoffmans are running a long way on Saturday.
Oh.
So I'm running the Richmond half marathon. My wife is running the Richmond full marathon. If she wants to go to bed, I'm not going to be like, oh, so I know it's my job, but like, I'm not doing a post-game show immediately after. A couple extra tweets ain't going to make me any more money. And so we might tap out at halftime, get up relatively early because that's just when I get up, and watch like not look at anything and watch it live. That way I can experience the emotion. I just can't look at anything on my phone.
You know how hard that is, though, Craig?
It's a lot easier at 6:30 in the morning.
Okay, that's fair.
There's not a lot of people texting. Like, you obviously can't get on Instagram or Twitter or anything because you'll see something. And I would just, like, not look at my phone.
True.
I would just leave my notes where they are on Thursday night.
Okay.
Get up Friday morning. Proceed through, hopefully be smart enough to remember that I can fast forward through the commercials, or I'll just watch the condensed game. But I think it's probably better to experience the full broadcast. And then I might have to get that done in a certain time period to do a show, an instant reaction show with Logan. And then I got to get in the car and we drive to Richmond.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So I got to figure that out.
Oof. Hey, look, you're a better man than me. It's not like you got a plan. You might be sticking to it.
Yeah, my plan is listen to the woman running the marathon, and whatever she wants to do, we're going to do. Because if I was running the marathon, that's what I would want.
Happy wife.
I'm merely running a half.
Happy wife, happy life, Craig. I think you know what to do.
Especially when she is running a marathon.
Yes.
All right. So on Thursday Night Football last night, incredible game. We should try to find time to talk about this. I guess for now is as good a time as any. I mean, the performances by both of those quarterbacks and the performance by Ja'Marr Chase. Football is at its best when stars play like stars. And when you have Burrow just dropping dimes, when Chase is literally running away from one of the best defenses in football, when Lamar is just the ease with which he escapes. Jaden and he share that quality where it's just like, you're dead to rights. If you're not Lamar Jackson, boom, stiff arm. Boom, just hop, skip out of an arm tackle. Other dudes trip when they do that. Not Lamar, not Jaden. Like, it is crazy the elusiveness that he has. And then you see the development that he's had over the years of the ability to keep the eyes downfield, to make any throw, the accuracy, the creativity, the confidence. So, yeah, watching him operate is tremendous. And then I do have to ask you, Anthony, this is a bad thing for a sports talk radio host to ask, but apparently there was an officiating controversy. I watched the condensed game back on second half this morning, and I think on the two-point conversion, did they miss a PI call? Was that what happened?
Well, I don't think it was a PI. It was a hit to the helmet on the quarterback, but also there was the whole, it could have been a hold. I think the guy was jamming the receiver. I don't think you call it in that situation.
So it wasn't blatant. It was controversial.
Yeah.
It wasn't like,
well, the hit to the helmet was actually that's a flag.
That one was bad?
Yeah. You hit him in a face mask.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. Yeah. I just can't, the way they cut it on Amazon Prime, typically in the condensed games, though, the NFL's in control, so maybe this is why. But often, like, when there's important replays, they show it. And I just, the way they cut it, all of a sudden, Al Michaels is like, this is why people hate the officiating. And I was like, oh, what I miss? And then I was making coffee or something, and I forgot to go back and look.
They missed two on Burrow. Like, he got hit in the helmet twice during that game. But on the two-point conversion, you got to call it. You got to call it. So, yeah. I don't know. I love the decision to go for it, though.
I do, too. It's 100% the right call. Mm-hmm. Your offense has been awesome. Just see if you can end it there. And, you know, what happened. We did talk about, like, the one on Dorrance Armstrong last week. Like, some of these are ridiculous calls. I hate them. But the rule is the rule. You got to call the rule.
Yep.
All right. Let's keep it moving from maybe the best game we'll see all weekend to what could be the worst. The weekend starts in Germany. Hallo. Sorry, we sent you the Giants and the Panthers. The Giants are 6.5-point favorites in a game that is a 40.5 total. Yikes. Giants storyline to watch for ESPN.com. This is an unusual spot for the Giants. They're actually favorites. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to pick Carolina outright, because I think that the Giants pass rush against this Carolina offensive line that has really struggled, and Bryce obviously struggles. That's really, really tough. But I definitely am taking, did I take care? I think I took Carolina on Wednesday to cover this.
I might have last week.
Oh, that's right. So I wasn't bold enough to take him 2 weeks in a row. But like, I think Carolina covers this. Like, Bryce Young is playing a lot better than he did earlier in the season. He's not playing well, but he's playing better. And, you know, it's just going to come down to like, can Carolina stop the run with Tyrone Tracy? But ESPN's bold prediction is that there will be no touchdowns scored in this game. Yikes.
Wow. I like the Giants in this game. I do think if the Panthers can lean on Chuba Hubbard, who they just gave a contract extension to, and then also Jonathan Brooks, he's making his Panthers debut. So if you lean on those two, I think you'll be able to run over a Giants defense that has had trouble stopping the run. Help Bryce Young out. Lean on, you know, Chuba Hubbard, the offensive line. It's easier to run block than pass block. You definitely don't want to get in down in distance where you have to block against those guys that they have up front.
Yeah, it is. It is going to be an interesting one. I don't know whether it'll be a good one. Although I'm low key intrigued to watch it. I don't know. Am I just a glutton for punishment?
I'll get a quarter, maybe a half of a quarter.
Yeah. I mean, like what? Look, it'll, when I get to Northwest Field, it'll be on, and I'll watch it. Because at that point, that's better than all the pregame shows. Because man, watching a little bit more of those this year. Now that I'm not doing my own pregame show, what happened to Sunday mornings?
Man,
I used to love those shows. Now, I'm excited to not watch them. I'm like, put the F1 race on and have it end right at 1 o'clock. That is my ideal Sunday morning. Patriots at Bears. Chicago's been a much better home team this year. They are potentially in free fall, but they're favored by 6.5. It is a kind of a weird situation for the Bears. Meanwhile, as you have the number one and number three picks here, Drake May has been a definitive bright spot for the Patriots, but it's a, hey, bright spot, you're going to be good in this league for a long time future, but you're making a lot of mistakes right now, unlike, say, Jaden Daniels, who's just come in and ripped it immediately. This is a very stout defense still for Chicago, even though they're missing some of their pieces. The Patriots are dead last in pass block win rate. They're actually winning less than half of their pass blocks as an offensive line per ESPN statistic. That is brutal. I will take the Bears to win the game, but I would take the Patriots to cover, and I will not be surprised if the Patriots win this game.
Oh my gosh, last in pass rush win rate?
Yeah,
I'm going to go with the Bears here. I just don't have any confidence in the Patriots, even though I have like what I've seen out of Drake May. Like, he has some bumps and bruises, but he doesn't have a lot around him, and I think he's just making the most of it. And I'm just glad it's not a Bryce Young situation. Like, they didn't just throw him into the fire kind of thing.
I mean, there is something to potentially the sink or swim theory, which is kind of like, hey, look, if dudes are good, they're good. I don't believe that. I think that there are situations that are so bad that, like, nobody can really function really well in them, especially as a young player. And Drake did get to watch Jacoby for a little bit. But that's a pretty bad situation, and they were basically like, sorry, sink or swim, and he's swimming enough, like, to give them promise, to give them a chance, where Bryce just, like, how quickly did he fall to the bottom?
Man.
He's just, like, you know, sitting down there with the Titanic. So, I mean, good for Bryce now. It's better. But, yeah, it's not great for the Patriots. Bills at Colts. Buffalo, 4-point favorites. And after a week of, hey, Joe Flacco back in, the offense was so bad last time that people are already asking how long will they stay like this before they go back to Anthony Richardson. Meanwhile, for the Bills, like, they didn't do anything at the deadline. They'd already made their move for Amari Cooper. He was a big if on the injury front. Let me pop that open real quick and see if we have a definitive answer on Amari Cooper. He is listed as questionable, but Keon Coleman out. How do you like your boys' chances at home against the Bills?
I don't like them a lot just because Michael Pittman is also out for this game. But they are at Lucas Oil. I'm going to go with the Colts to pull off the upset, man.
Wow.
No Amari Cooper, no Keon Coleman. And not to say that they don't have Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel. They have weapons still, Mac Hollins. But I think the Colts are going to stand up here. I think JT is going to have a big day. And Joe Flacco is going to sustain some drives.
I think he could. I think ultimately the Bills will pull away. I just, all due respect to Z and that defense, they're struggling a little bit.
Yeah, they are.
The Bills offense is not. Broncos at Chiefs. Denver trying to bounce back from a brutal performance against the Baltimore Ravens that kind of ruined their entire season's worth of good defense. Meanwhile, Kansas City just finding ways to win. They got a big one against Buffalo, I believe it is, next week. They're 8-point favorites. Do the Chiefs end this day 9-0?
They will be 9-0. I'm going with the Chiefs. No
also
question.
Also agree. I was listening to Mina's pod, and she had Field Yates on, and he made a really good point that, like, at this point, there's something to certain teams know how to win, and the Chiefs just seemingly know how to win. They did it again against Tampa. They're not as potent maybe as they have been in years past, but when the clock strikes zero or overtime happens, they do it. Falcons at Saints. Atlanta only 4-point favorites here. Cousins struggled in the week 4 game when these two teams matched up, but he has definitely been stronger as of late, and obviously the Saints have continued to free fall. I will obviously take Atlanta here. Anthony, anything else you would like to add?
No, not really. The Falcons should destroy the Saints.
Get a couple turnovers. This could get ugly. 49ers at Buccaneers. Wait, I see Christian McCaffrey. His jersey is on. It's Christian McCaffrey time. CMC is back. San Francisco 6-point favorites as they come off their bye.
I can't wait to do tiers on we might not get the tiers next week. But I can't
wait. Next week's a short week, so things might be sacrificed.
Yeah. But when we get around to it, I can't wait to recap to see how the 49ers perform with McCaffrey. We've been waiting for so long for this guy to get back. They have most of their weapons back, and they finally have their largest weapon. 49ers need to go out here and send a message to the rest of the NFC. They're back, baby. They're back.
They need their defense to come with CMC. That is kind of what needs to happen here. Vikings at Jags. Oh, I'm so happy I picked this game on Wednesday, because I got it Wednesday at -4. The line is now 7 because Mac Jones is starting for the Jags. 1, 2, 3.
Vikings.
The Titans and the Chargers. LA 7.5-point favorites over Tennessee. This is going to be a brutal physical game. That's how both teams want to play. The thing is, I think the Chargers are for real about that, and I think the Titans want to be about that. And so I will take L.A. to have a nice day on the ground and continue to roll the way that they have been.
Yeah, this Chargers offense is rolling. I'm expecting them to keep on chugging along. I can't wait for them to play the Chiefs, man. Can I wait? Looking forward to it.
Fantasy X factor in this game. This is from ESPN.com. J.K. Dobbins has had 16 touches in 4 straight games, with 2 games hitting 21 or more. In 3 of those games, Dobbins has scored at least 17 fantasy points. With the Chargers entering as heavy favorites, expect them to lean more on Dobbins. By the way, betting nugget, the Titans are 1-7 against the spread. That is the worst in the NFL. That is hard to do. You have to be terrible. Terrible. To be 1-7 against the spread. Eagles 6-2 going into the 3-5 Cowboys with Cooper Rush. This is CBS's game of the day. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo. Oh, Jim, there's Cooper Rush again. Look, there was a famous moment in the show's history where I made a really funny joke. A really cheesy joke about the Cowboys love to run the ball so much. Their quarterback's name is Rush. Here's the thing. When Cooper Rush was playing then, they were good at running it. Cooper Rush is playing now. The Cowboys' run game is abysmal. The Eagles, all of a sudden, Logan and I were talking about this off air the other day, but he's like, I've started to look at the Eagles, and, man, they have figured some things out. They are starting to look really good. I mean, we could go 1-2-3 Eagles here, but let's just enjoy Cowboys' misery perhaps a little bit more.
Oh, no, for sure. I will say Cooper will have some help. CeeDee Lamb will be out there. So he'll have somebody to throw to. But, yeah, as far as the running game goes, that's non-existent. And the Eagles' run defense has gotten better. Like, they figured some stuff out. Jordan Davis, he's making some plays.
The young guys are coming on too. Kenyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, like those guys
Kenyon
are starting to play.
Is a dog, Craig.
Those guys are starting to play a lot better on the back end, which like makes sense. They're rookies. By the way, if this game goes the way that we think it will, Cowboys are going to see some streaks end. They are currently 0-3 at home this season after they had won 16 straight regular season games at AT&T Stadium. Cooper Rush, 5-1, filling in for Dak Prescott in his career. His one loss, though, to the Eagles. He was picked off three times. Ooh. And the Cowboys are 17-1 in division games at home since 2018.
God, that's dominance right there. I'm not going to lie.
That's impressive. This is why people, you know, Dak is one of the best in the league. Like that kind of stuff is why people say that. Thing is, his hamstring is not currently attached to the bone that it's supposed to be attached to. So welcome to the Cooper Rush show.
Did you see the stuff about Jalen Hurts and his ankle?
No.
So apparently Nick Sirianni on Wednesday said that Jalen had missed practice due to his ankle. And all the reporters were like, his ankle? And then the Eagles PR was like, no, it was a rest day. So then Sirianni tried to walk back those comments and say he missed practice because of rest. And now today, I think he ended up on the injury report.
Rest/ankle?
Yes. And it's just like, yo.
That's a fine waiting to happen. You cannot lie on injury report. Yes, the NFL takes that very seriously. God, Sirianni's a doofus.
Man.
Jets at Cardinals. I don't like calling coaches like doofuses and losers and morons. Tony does every week. Oh, it's so fun. Have you watched our pick show that we do online on Mondays?
I have not watched it.
Dude, you should. It is fun. We got to have you as a guest one week. That'd be fun. Because you and I don't talk to each other through microphones and headphones enough during any given day. He's Antonio Pierce, moron. Kind of a signature.
I'll tap in.
Nick Sirianni, I'm comfortable at this point with stuff like that. Nick Sirianni, you're kind of a doofus. Jets at Cardinals. This is the game that nobody outside of New York and Arizona will see. Have you seen the coverage map? For this.
Oh, everybody's going to be watching our game, right?
No, Cowboys-Eagles. Cowboys-Eagles. 4 o'clock. But Jets are favored by 1.5, which makes no sense. The Cardinals are a better football team, which is begging you to then take the Jets. It's a road game. I mean, I guess the Jets are starting to play a little bit better. They're watching their defense against Pittsburgh because that was one of their most recent games, like watching the tape. I was like, I see why this defense is supposed to be good.
Yeah.
They got dudes. They run to the ball. They hustle. Like, they get after it. I just don't. Jets, and if they lose, I'm going to be so mad about it. But, like, maybe the Jets are trying to find something, and this is where the Cardinals turn back into a pumpkin.
Is this a stinky fish?
A little bit. Because the Cardinals are better.
You're going with the
and
Jets?
And they're at home.
Or the Cards?
I'm going with the Jets. I don't like it. I don't actually intellectually think that's what's going to happen, but like there's no reason that the Jets should be favored by 1.5 at Arizona.
I'm going to listen to you and Kevin's
advice.
You know,
Sheehan and Van Pelt, that's where I first heard the stinky fish theory. So I don't know where they got it from. I'm sure it's not original, but like those two bald, intelligent men, that is where I'm stealing from.
I'm going with the Jets, man. Stinky fish.
We're just, you know, it's our station. Van Pelt's got enough stuff. From the Book of Sheehan, J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Yes.
Lions at Texans is the Sunday nighter.
Ooh.
Whoop. Anthony, goggles. Player finder goggles. Oh, I see him. It's Nico Collins. Nico Collins back for the Texans.
Oh.
I do believe that is true. I heard that earlier today. Did someone lie to me?
Is he back or is he off of IR? That won't mean he's back. No, did they open his window?
He's been designated to return by the Texans. This is the last update. Oh, okay, so he's out there. We don't know if he's going to be back. But Will Anderson's out. That's a big deal.
Ooh. I chose this team in Sunday's pick. I'm going with the Lions. High-flying offense, but it's also because CJ doesn't have any targets. His line is banged up. He hasn't looked good, you know, without his guys. No Steph, no Nico. Tank is
questionable.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I don't know who he's going to be throwing the ball to. John,
I think
Messi.
NBC would have rather had Steelers Commanders.
Probably.
In hindsight.
Do you think that's too many primetime games for the Commanders? Back to back to back. We had the Thursday nighter. I mean, yeah, we have the Thursday nighter. Then we had the 425 against the Bears. And now this, I mean, the
425 is whatever. Yeah, no. Going Sunday night into Thursday night, I bet you Dan Quinn is friggin' thrilled that that has not happened. Literally every hour counts going to Thursday night football. I actually think it should be, like, I don't know if illegal is the right word. Like, the NFL should not have teams not play at 1 o'clock the week before they're on Thursday night football.
Yeah.
Like, it's just ridiculous. Because your sleep gets all jacked up, and that's really, really, really important. But I don't want to get too nerdy in a sports science sense. We're just picking football games. Dolphins at Rams.
Who'd you pick?
Lions. Dolphins at Rams. Come on. The Rams are 1-point favorites here. Obviously, the Dolphins were better. With Tua Tagovailoa last week, he was sensational from an accuracy standpoint, 25 of 28, a number that for some reason is seared in my mind, but they lost to Buffalo. We know that the Rams with Puka, with Cooper Kupp, we tell you every week with Kyren Williams and Matt Stafford, if that quartet is on the field, they're the best offense in football the last bunch of years, and the Dolphins defense is not very good. That pushes me towards the Rams, although this is a bit of a stinky fish because I feel like they should be favored by more. It's a home game, but I'm just going to go with LA because I don't really understand why. I got nothing here. But the Dolphins are 1-7 against the spread, and their last 8 games is underdogs. So there's a fun fact for you.
Yeah, I'm not going with the Dolphins, man. And the Rams, I trust when they got their big four. What is their big four again?
Kupp.
Puka.
Puka. Stafford. Kyren.
There it is, right there. That's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. The greatest offense on turf.
If you're gonna drop the stat, you got to remember the four players. That's
you're
the
right.
Rules. Those are the rules.
The Fantastic right. Four, baby. Yeah.
Somebody get Rams PR on the phone and get us a check. Rams marketing on the phone and someone get us a check. The Fantastic Four.
Uh-huh.
All right. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, we're not picking four. No. We're picking six. It's our pick six at six. Who are the most important players in the Commander Showdown with the Steelers? We will discuss next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app.